President Bush wants to help holiday flyers. Garmin has an STC for the G1000 in the King Air 90. And the GAO is critical of TSA screening. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, November 16, 2007. 1 week out from the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday, President Bush announced on Thursday a plan to help relieve air traffic congestion and flight delays through the holiday season. The measures have been prompted by unprecedented delays during 2007, rising passenger counts, and reductions in available seats on airliners. The president says the U.S. military will open some of its restricted airspace to airline traffic, mostly over water along the East Coast. If controllers and airline planners can move quickly enough to take advantage, this could impact delays at some of the worst spots for congestion near big Northeast metro areas. The Federal Aviation Administration will delay any infrastructure maintenance which is not time-sensitive and has approved short-term measures to improve traffic flows at New York airports, including authorizing simultaneous use of multiple runways where safety permits at Newark and JFK. Bush also announced Department of Transportation measures, which will not make it in time for the holidays, but may improve things by summer. Airline compensation to bumped passengers forced to wait more than 2 hours for their next available plane will double from the current minimum of $400 to $800. DOT also plans to collect better data on delays and force airlines to have contingency plans for stranded passengers. Reaction came quickly from the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights. Executive Director Kate Hanai called the measures inadequate and has called a press conference for Monday to elaborate. Big news from the avionics world today. Garmin says it has received a supplemental type certificate from the FAA to begin retrofitting the King Air C90 series with its G1000 glass cockpit. The company anticipates additional STCs shortly for the King Air 200 and B200, as announced in September at NBAA. Garmin's marketing VP, Gary Kelly, called it an immense achievement for Garmin. Quote, "Now King Air C90 pilots can continue to fly this legendary aircraft while enjoying the distinct benefits of the G1000, such as increased safety of flight, reduced pilot workload, unparalleled situational and weather awareness, and supreme reliability," unquote. The G1000 avionics suite, as implemented in the C90, uses one large 15-inch multifunction display, two 10.4-inch primary flight displays, and Garmin's GFC 700 3-axis fully digital dual-channel autopilot. It also saves about 100 pounds over the equipment it replaces. Orders for the King Air C90 retrofit are being accepted now. A report by the Government Accountability Office casts further doubt on effectiveness of airport security. CBS News reports GAO investigators conducted secret testing at 19 airports earlier this year and were able to sneak through TSA checkpoints with components used to assemble makeshift explosive devices. The report concludes, quote, "Our tests clearly demonstrate that a terrorist group, using publicly available information and a few resources, could cause severe damage to an airplane and threaten the safety of passengers." Investigators carried a liquid explosive and a low-yield detonator in some tests and an improvised incendiary device using commonly available products that TSA prohibits in carry-on luggage in other tests. In each case, bomb parts purchased over the internet or at a local store for roughly $150 were carried through TSA checkpoints and onto airline flights without being challenged by transportation security officers. The report details one interaction, however, in which a TSA screener did successfully confiscate a small, unlabeled bottle of medical shampoo. CBS News security analyst Paul Kurtz implies the task faced by screeners may be impossible. Quote, "If you start to break up all the components over several different people, and you bring them in different ways on your person, in your carry-on luggage, how is a TSA screener supposed to put all those pieces together?" Unquote. Unfortunately for now, that's a rhetorical question. TSA Administrator Kip Hawley told a congressional committee Wednesday that an April 2006 email sent from an agency employee to airport security officials was not a tip to prepare for random screenings, as has been alleged. Hawley said the email was intended to warn the officials that actual terrorist groups might be posing as TSA officials, not the other way around. The wording of the message, however, warned of testing being carried out by the Department of Transportation and the FAA. Up next on ANN, Airbus cleans up at the Dubai Air Show. Boeing and Airbus both say the industry is peaking in 2007. And Ariane sells its first supersonic business jet. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 16, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Airbus ended the 10th Dubai Air Show with orders it says reinforce customer confidence in its product range. During the show, Airbus received 163 firm orders, valued at over $28 billion, from 10 customers. The company landed its biggest order ever in dollar terms for 70 A350 XWBs and 11 A380s from Emirates, and 132 additional commitments from three customers. After years of lukewarm interest and three redesigns, demand for the upcoming A350 XWB was very strong, with a total of 80 firm orders from two customers. Airbus said the Dubai show also reconfirmed the importance of the A380 to the world market. But, as is the case for Boeing with its 737 line, the Airbus bread-and-butter A320 single-aisle airliner continued to accumulate impressive sales. The company received 66 firm orders for its narrow-body line, plus commitments for an additional 101 received from nine customers. Airbus also earned a firm order for five A330s from Oman Air. The old adage says, make hay while the sun shines. For Boeing and Airbus, it might be paraphrased, sell planes in the Middle East while oil is at record high prices. Bloomberg reports both Airbus and Boeing expect 2007 will be the peak year for new airliner orders for the foreseeable future, and expect sales to drop off dramatically in the next year. So they're selling all they can right now. Combined, the two plane makers won contracts worth nearly $70 billion at this week's Dubai Air Show, with Airbus bringing home 297 orders and commitments to Boeing's 155. Both companies are on track for record sales for 2007 and should exceed the combined record of 2057 set during 2005. But Airbus sales chief John Leahy predicts normal trend levels for next year, with combined Airbus and Boeing sales of between 800 and 1,000 planes. But then again, as Boeing Commercial Airplanes CEO Scott Carson noted recently, quote, we all thought 2005 was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. All of us walked into 2007 believing we'd have a more moderate year, but it's been on pace with what we've seen in the last two, unquote. So who knows? If you thought that story about a Saudi prince buying a personal VIP A380 was a little over the top, how about a supersonic business jet? Aireon Vice Chairman Brian Behrens said in Dubai this week, quote, we have often said that Mach 1.6 is the new speed of leadership, unquote. He was referring to the company's first order for its supersonic biz jet, which came from Sheikh Rashid bin Humaid Al Nuaimi, head of the municipality and planning department in Ajman, the smallest member state of the United Arab Emirates. That order came 3 days after Aireon announced it was accepting orders through Zurich, Switzerland-based ExecuJet. The company says interest has been strong and a number of discussions are underway. The Aireon supersonic biz jet was publicly unveiled in October of 2004. Since then, wind tunnel and other testing has taken the aircraft to an advanced stage of design, but the company is seeking an aircraft manufacturer to serve as a program integrator. Embraer kicked major business jet butt in Dubai, although the company's press release used more modest terms. But $1.1 billion in firm orders from nine customers deserves superlatives. Embraer says its Lineage 1000 ultra-large business jet led the way with seven orders from three customers. The company also landed firm orders for seven Legacy 600s from four customers and 37 of its new Phenom jets from four customers. Commercial orders included five 190s and leases for five more E-jets from Saudi Arabia's NAS Air, and Virgin Nigeria's order for three Embraer 170s and three 190s, with options and purchase rights for 14 more planes. Still ahead, the U.S. Air Force returns some of its F-15s to service. China's anti-satellite weapon may encourage cheaper satellites. And a Florida airport discontinues an airline incentive that worked too well. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, November 16, 2007. I'm Paul Platt. The U.S. Air Force announced on Wednesday F-15E Strike Eagle fighter jets will soon return to service in the Iraq and Afghanistan war theaters. But older F-15s flown by Air National Guard and Reserve units stateside will remain grounded in the aftermath of a crash earlier this month. As ANN reported, the Air Force grounded about 700 F-15s, following the November 2nd crash of a Missouri Air National Guard F-15C. The pilot was able to eject with survivable injuries. Investigators say the aircraft experienced in-flight structural failure. CNN reports the newest F-15E Strike Eagles will be returned to service after undergoing an airframe inspection, including a one-time check of hydraulic lines, longerons running the length of the fuselages on those planes, and skin panels near the environmental control system bay will also be checked. The aircraft involved in the November 2nd accident was built in 1980. In January, China demonstrated that it had missile technology which could destroy a satellite in Earth orbit. It demonstrated by blowing up one of its own aging communications satellites, much to the chagrin of other nations whose satellites must now contend with the resulting orbital debris. The New York Times says that demonstration is prompting efforts in the U.S. to develop more and cheaper satellites, which means small entrepreneurs may play a significant role. Proponents of the concept say quicker, cheaper launches would benefit not only NASA and the military, but promote educational, commercial, and scientific uses of space that are not being pursued now because they cost too much. The Times reports most launches now cost $30 to $100 million, but private companies are targeting more like $4 to $7 million, and lower costs are not the only benefit. James Wirtz, who teaches astronautics in the U.S., Canada, and Europe, and has written basic textbooks on space mission design and costs, says a satellite launched within 20 hours of the Asian tsunami in 2004 could have found villages in need of help quickly and saved more lives. And so, in its own way, China's threat to make satellites just so many shooting gallery ducks may end up helping mankind. Go figure. Florida's Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport decided in August of 2000 to waive landing, gate, and security fees for airlines which would open new nonstop service. The South Florida Sun-Sentinel reports good news and bad news. The good news is it worked. The airport has lost $3.7 million in fees, but increased revenues almost $8 million because of all the additional volume. The bad news, the international terminal is now so crowded that County Commissioner John Rodstrom calls the program, quote, a disaster that needs to be dealt with, unquote. Airport Director Kent George says he now wants incentives only for service to targeted destinations where more service is needed, such as Western Europe and Lower South America. International travel at Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International exploded by 18% just since last year, according to traffic counts for January through September. But now that frequent travelers have discovered Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International, will higher ticket prices really keep them away? Maybe, maybe not. Evadne Brooks, who lives in Jamaica but visits relatives in Broward County, told the paper her relatives would rather not pick her up at Miami. Quote, it's very convenient to fly here, much closer than Miami for them to reach me, unquote. And finally, we have a happy ending to report in the case of a rare Douglas C-47 Dakota, which took part in the D-Day invasion, was involved in several other famous World War II operations, but was set to be scrapped in Bosnia. The government there has finally signed off on letting a museum in Normandy receive and restore the aircraft. The plane will be packed up and loaded on trucks, ironically, by German troops stationed at Rajlovac as one of their final tasks before returning home December 1st. While it'll be tempting for history buffs in France to restore it to exact military livery, maybe it's time to change the plane's nickname. A wartime crew dubbed it the Snafu Special, which is written under the cockpit, and it almost became a self-fulfilling prophecy. Or maybe it will be enough to leave the writing the same, but erect a little plaque next to it that says it now stands for, quote, "Situation Normal, All Fixed Up," unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today my guest is Judy Neville, first selectman for the town of New Canaan, Connecticut. Judy also chairs the Alliance for Sensible Airspace Planning, or ASAP. That's a coalition of 12 towns that are going to court to challenge the FAA's plans to redesign the Metro New York airspace. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend. Have a clear and unlimited day.